August 2026. There Will Come Soft Rains by Ray Bradbury. Adapted for narrator, vocoder, and synthesizer by Malcolm Clark.
The house is an altar with 10,000 attendants, big, small, servicing, attending. The ritual of the religion continues.
Today is August the 4th, 2026.
The morning house stands empty. The clock ticks on, repeating its sounds into the emptiness.
7, 9, breakfast time. 7, 9, breakfast time.
In the kitchen, the cooker gives a hissing sigh and ejects from its warm interior 16 slices of bacon, 2 cool glasses of milk, 8 pieces of perfectly browned toast, 8 eggs and 2 coffees.
Today is August the 4th, 2026. Today is August the 4th, 2026. Today is Mrs. Featherstone's birthday. Today is the anniversary of Talita's marriage. Today, insurance is payable, as are the water, gas, and electricity bills.
Somewhere in the walls, computer tapes are gliding under electronic eye. Are slammed. No carpets take the soft tread of rubber heels.
Rain, rain, go away, rubber boots and raincoats for today. Rain, rain, go away, rubber boots and raincoats for today.
The garage door lifts and reveals inside a waiting car. It's 8:30, and the eggs are shriveled and the toast is like stone. An aluminium wedge scrapes them into the sink, where hot water whirls them down a metal throat which digests and flushes them away to the distant sea. The dirty dishes are washed and sterilized. They emerge twinkling dry.
9:15, time to clean. 9:15, time to clean.
Out of warrens in the wall, dart tiny robot cleaning mice. All rubber and metal, they thud against chairs, whirling their moustached runners, suck at hidden dust. popped back into their burrows, their pink electric eyes fading. The house is clean. The sun has come out. The house stands alone in a city of rubble and ashes. This is the only house left standing. At night, the city gives off a radioactive glow which can be seen for miles. The garden sprinklers fill the morning air with scatterings of brightness. The water-padded window panes on the charred west side of the house have been burned evenly free of their white paint. The entire west face of the house is black, save for five places. Here, the silhouette in paint of a man mowing the lawn. Here, as in a photograph, a woman is bent to pick flowers. Still further over, their images etched into the wall in one titanic instant, a small boy, hands flung up into the air. Higher up, the image of a thrown ball, and opposite him, a girl, hands raised to catch a ball which never came down. Five spots of paint remain. The man, the woman, the children, the ball. The rest is a thin charcoal layer. The gentle sprinkler rain fills the garden with falling light. Until this day, how well the house has kept its peace. How carefully it inquires, who goes there? What's the password? And getting no answer from lonely foxes and whining cats, it has shut up its windows and drawn its curtains in an old maidenly preoccupation with self-protection, which borders on a kind of mechanical paranoia. The house quivers at each sound. If a sparrow should brush a window, the blinds snap up. The bird, startled, flies off. Not even a bird must touch the house. The house is an altar with 10,000 attendants, big, small, servicing, attending. But the gods have gone away, and the ritual of the religion continues senselessly, uselessly.
Tick-tock, 12 o'clock. Tick-tock, 12 o'clock.
A dog whines on the front porch. The door recognizes the dog's voice and opens. The dog, once huge and fleshy, has now gone to bone and is covered with sores. As he moves through the house, he leaves a trail of mud. Behind, angry mice. Angry at having to pick up mud. Angry at inconvenience. The offending dust, hair or paper is seized in miniature steel jaws and is raced back to the burrow. From there, it is fed down tubes into the cellar and into the sighing vent of an incinerator, which sits like evil Baal in dark silence. The dog sniffs the air and scratches the kitchen door. Behind the door, the stove is making pancakes and filling the house with a rich, baked odor. He froths at the mouth, lying at the door, sniffing. His eyes turned to fire. He runs wildly in circles, biting at his tail. Spins in a frenzy. And dies. He remains in the parlor for an hour.
Tick-tock, 2 o'clock. Tick-tock, 2 o'clock.
At last, sensing decay, regiments of cleaning mice emerge, humming along as softly blown grey leaves in an electrical wind.
Two 15. is clean.
The dog has gone. In the cellar, the incinerator glows suddenly, and a whirl of sparks leap up the chimney.
2:39, bridge time. 2:39, bridge time.
Bridge tables sprout from the patio walls. Playing cards flutter down into pads in a shower of pips. Music is playing. Untouched, the tables fold like great butterflies. In the nursery, animals are taking shape. Yellow giraffes, blue lions, pink antelopes, lilac panthers cavorting in a crystal substance. The walls are glass. They look out on color and fantasy. Butterflies of delicate tissue flutter among the sharp aroma of animal spores. There is a sound like a great matted yellow hive of bees within a dark bellows. The lazy bumble of a purring lion. Now the walls are dissolving into distances of parched weed, mile upon mile, and warm, endless sky. It was the children's hour. In the study, on a metal stand opposite the hearth, a cigar is alight, half an inch of soft grey ash on it, smoking, waiting.
Which poem would you like this evening?
Since you express no preference, I shall select a poem at random. Sarah Teasdale, as I recall, your favorite. There will come soft rains and the smell of the ground, and swallows circling with their shimmering sound, and frogs in the pools singing at night, and wild plum trees in tremulous white. Robins will wear their feathery fire, whistling their wings on a low fence wire. And not one will know of the war, not one will care at last when it is done. Not one would mind, neither bird nor tree, if mankind perished utterly. And spring herself, when she woke at dawn, would scarcely know that we were gone.
A falling tree has crashed through the kitchen window. Cleaning solvent, bottled, shatters over the stove. The room is ablaze in an instant. The house begins to die. The house is trying to save itself. Doors spring tightly shut. But the windows, broken by the heat, allow the wind to suck upon the fire. 10 billion angry sparks move with flaming ease from room to room and then to the stairs. Water rats pistol their water and run for more. The wall sprays let down showers of mechanical rain. But too late. The reserve water supply, which has filled baths and washed dishes for many quiet days, has gone. The fire crackles up the stairs. It feeds upon Picassos and Matisses, baking off the oily flesh, tenderly crisping the canvases into black shavings. And now, reinforcements. From the attic trapdoors, blind robot faces peer down with mouths gushing green chemical. But the fire is clever. It has sent flames outside the house, up through the attic to the pumps there. The attic brain directing the pumps has shattered into bronze shrapnel. The house shudders, oak bone on bone, its bared skeleton cringing from the heat, its wire nerves revealed, as if a surgeon had torn off the skin to let the red veins and capillaries quiver in the scalded air. Nursery. The jungle burns. Blue lions roar, giraffes bound off. Panthers run in circles, changing color. The animals running before the fire vanish off toward a distant steaming river.
The splendor falls on castle walls and snowy summits burn and storm. Long light tanks with the fire the and the fire and the fire and the
I can't wait to move, rain, rain, rain.
August 2026. There will come soft rains. The voices were Eva Hatton and Jeffrey Siegel. Narrator, Gerard Green. Adapted and realized from the short story by Ray Bradbury, by Malcolm Clark at the BBC Radiophonic Workshop.